Record. Welcome everybody back to our building a sanctuary in the heart of Lavi Mishkan Evna, learning at Shari as we approach rapidly the Yom Tov of Shavuos, Be'ezras Hashem, right around the corner. So we are on page 110, please, right at the bottom of page 110, according to my bookmark. We are learning Lilui Nishmasa and Lezecha Nishmasa, Miriam Frill, Miriam Baschai Mitzchak, Allah HaShalom, and Hashem Hasharav, a continuous aliyah in the merit of our Torah learning, and hopefully Be'ezras Hashem in the merit of our avoda that we're doing to work on ourselves, Be'ezras Hashem. So I must follow up with last week. I told you last week that I put Staycom in my phone. Who was here last week? Because I was having some Friday Yetzer Hara business. So Baruch Hashem, even though I didn't feel totally calm on the inside, I wasn't crying when I sliced the pomegranates, no glass bowls broke, no chas shalom on purpose. It was an accident. It was chas de Hashem olam ashira, very good avoda with Hashem's help that it was a difference. And hodu Hashem kitov kilam chasto, and it really relates to our learning tonight because the Mechaber is going to tell us that whatever you need, you have to daven. It doesn't just mean physical success. It doesn't just mean shirech. It doesn't just mean refuah. It doesn't just mean parnasa. You need to daven even for ruchnius, especially we're going to learn for advance in ruchnius. So we are on page 110, please. Hey, I have that we're towards the bottom. So let's just start in the middle paragraph, just so we're not starting sort of in the middle of nowhere. When working on this area, Esther's not coming. When working on this area, stop and say before Hashem, Ribono Sha'olam, I see even one who does not observe Torah and mitzvot receives blessing from you. It seems one can receive blessing even without prayer. I think we touched upon last week the inyan of Tzadik Viralo, and Chazal say in Pirkei Avos, Lo Biyadenu, Ein Biyadenu, Lo Mishalvos HaRishayim, V'laf Lo Miyasurei HaTzadikim. Chazal say in Pirkei Avos, it's not in our hand. When something's in your hand, it's very real to you. As that means in your hand, you're touching it, you're holding it. Chazal say it's not in our hand, the tranquility of the wicked and the sorrows of the tzaddik. But it seems that things can happen without prayer. B'shaim are successful. On the other hand, however, that's not true, because I believe the words of Chazal. Prayer is needed for any blessing. Master of the world, I pray my faith in the words of Chazal will be sound, and although my eyes of flesh and blood cannot see this truth, I will have the merit to believe in it completely. Somebody was just telling me about a certain matzav. She was unfortunately being mevaker cholim, somebody, tying this into tefillah, on the need for prayer. Prayer is needed for any blessing. Chazal say, we just read, prayer is needed for any blessing. Someone's just telling me she was mevaker cholim. Unfortunately, Rachman Atzan, a woman who is very, very ill. The matzav is not good. She's very, very ill. And she was not an observant woman. Jewish woman, not observant, Jewish. And now when this woman was going to be mevaker cholim, she said, say a blessing. Give me a blessing. Something in the neshama. Before the ascension to the Olam HaEmes, even in a person who's perhaps not attuned to these actions. And this woman said to me, she's a different person than the woman that I knew her whole life. She's a different person. She says, say a blessing. So she said, so now when I go, I make sure I say out loud, and she says amen, and I daven the whole, you know, whatever she's saying, whatever she's davening, that she makes sure that it's allowed, because prayer is needed for any blessing. I pray that my faith in the words of Chazal will be sound. We have to daven for emunah, b'divrei tzaddikim. Some people need to clarify this intellectually at length, but one must pray to maintain emunah. Nothing can be achieved without tefillah. But do you understand what he's saying? You have to daven for emunah to believe in tefillah. It's not just you have to pray to maintain emunah that nothing can be achieved without tefillah. You have to daven to daven. You have to daven to believe. It's not just that you have to believe. You have to daven to believe. This week's parasha. Parshas Behar in the Shemitah year. What's the whole onion of Shemitah? The whole onion of Shemitah is... I saw something. The famous question, Parshas Behar opens with, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Behar Sinai Leimar. Hashem spoke to Moshe at Har Sinai, saying, Kisavol Aretz Asher Nosei Nechem V'shavtar Shabbas L'Hashem. The Parsha begins with, when you come to land, and I'm giving you the land, will rest the rest of Hashem. But the Parsha begins with, and God spoke to Moshe at Har Sinai, saying. So what's the question? What's the question? Everything was said to Moshe at Har Sinai. We're at the end of Vayikra. We haven't left Har Sinai yet. Since Shemos Perek Yates, we're still at Har Sinai. So Rashi asks, what is the, Ma Inyan Shemitah, Allah Har Tzar Sinai.
Everybody started the speech the same sense. Ma Inyan Shemitah, Eitzel Har Sinai.
Wait, who says that?
No, it was my son's bar mitzvah parsha.
Oh.
So everybody started this speech with that same
thing. Ah, so I just thought of something because of this class dafka that never occurred to me. So Rashi says, Ma kol aser potaser v'dikto keha, just like the fine points and the details of the mitzvahs were set at Sinai, so too the fine points, details, and fine-tuned points of Shemitah were set by Har Sinai. But maybe we could say something else. What I was going to say is that Shemitah is a year of Amunah. And you have to daven for the Amunah to know that Hashem, I'm not going to work for 1 year, and you're going to provide for me, not only for 1 year. You're going to provide for me in your six. You're going to provide for me in your seven. What are you eating in your eight? You haven't planted anything since your six. People could come. They could take your produce. So perhaps that's the inyan of Shemitah, Eitzel Har Sinai. Both were a lesson in Amunah. Shemitah is a lesson in Amunah, and standing by Ma'amad Har Sinai is also a tremendous lesson in Amunah. What's the first of the Seres HaDibros? Anochi Hashem Elkecha. What's the mitzvah of Anochi? It's a statement. It's a mitzvah to have Amunah in the Ribbono Shel Olam, and you need to daven for this. Amunah itself requires tefillah. Getting through a Shemitah year requires tefillah. Shemitah is called repeatedly Shabbat Lashem, Shabbat Shabbaton, Shabbat Lashem. It's called Shabbos. Why is it called Shabbos? We don't live in a society where we can relate to this. But Lamaisa, Shabbos and Shemitah are the same leap of faith. Don't work, and Hashem will provide. We don't live with the reality that if I don't work for a day, Hashem will provide. But my grandparents' generation, it was a very real reality. Okay, you came to a new country, your whole family was killed, you lost your spouse and children, you finally got a job, you could barely speak the language, you had injuries from the war, you got a job, and now they tell you, okay, if you don't come to work, then don't come back on Monday. If you don't come in on Saturday, don't come back to work on Monday. But I'm living from paycheck day to day. Like, literally, how am I going to put food on my table? So Shabbos is the same Nisayon of Amunah that Shemitah is. We don't live in a time where we feel this, because we don't live in a time where if I don't work on Saturday. But it was a very real Nisayon for very many people. You have to daven for Amunah. Forget davening for Parnassah. You have to daven for faith. You have to daven for belief. As long as you believe tefillah is needed only for extra aid from above. In other words, it's essentially up to you. You could basically take care of yourself and get what you need, and you don't appreciate the nature of tefillah. If you feel that things are essentially up to you, and you could basically take care of yourself, tefillah is for the extras. You don't appreciate the nature of tefillah. We have a plant on our counter. I could show you the picture of it. Someone gave it to us 3 days after we moved in. We moved in like August 16th of last year. It's amazing. I don't even have a green thumb. I never repotted it. It doesn't even know to repot. I need to repot this. It just sprouted new flowers. It has new leaves. It's the most amazing thing. I water it once a week with like half a cup of water. It's unbelievable. It's from August. It's 9 months. It's unbelievable. It's a houseplant sitting in my kitchen. So my daughter said to me, who's taking care of this? I said, Hashem. So she said, okay, who's physically taking care of this? So I said, I am. But we can't think that we can basically take care of ourselves and that tefillah is for the extras. If so, we have not appreciated the nature of tefillah. We have to work to attain the level of true tefillah. What is that? Without tefillah, you can achieve nothing. So it's not a joke when we say, you know, Hashem, help me find the parking spot. Hashem, please let me get there safely. That's for sure not a joke. Hashem, please let there be no traffic. Hashem, please let me have the right words to say. Whatever you're asking for, it's constant. You could achieve nothing without prayer. Contemplate this point and review it again and again. Speak to Hashem and say to Him, I know if I don't pray, I won't achieve anything. I don't feel this strongly, but it's clear to me in my mind. Help me feel the need for tefillah and live accordingly. Say this again and again till you feel, in fact, without prayer, nothing can be attained. So I just said nothing. I'm going to quote from Henny Machas. Forget what I was going to say. What I was going to say is that I'm having work as Kanaina Her very, very busy, and I'm having a bunch of company on Shabbos lunch. And it all snowballed, and there's just people being added. So by the last few people, I didn't know what to do. So I said, what should I do? I said to my kids, what should I do? I said, what would Henny say? So my daughter's very cute. She said she would say no. So I said, Tamara, do you know who Henny is? She's like, Mommy, I was joking. Okay. What would Henny say about prayer? Did someone say down there say something? Oh, okay. The last summer of her life, speaking to a rabbi who works on a college campus, she gave him a message. By the way, I say it all the time. I say it very often to myself. It helps me. I vote to Hashem. What would Henny say? Does anyone else say it? You don't want to say or you don't say it? Okay, read the book and then try it. It works. Okay. What?
We're not on your madriga.
You're not on her madriga?
North.
It's not such a madriga. It's just, what would Henny say? It's her madriga. The last summer of her life, speaking to a rabbi who works on a college campus, she gave him a message to deliver to the students. Please tell everyone, listen to this. As much as it's important to go to holy places and to speak to holy people, everyone has to know we should talk to Hashem. Just turn to Hashem. You have a direct line. So we run to this cave and we run to that. Although I'm not saying not to run for brachas. I'm not saying to go to Makomas Kadoshim, not to that. But Lamaisa, wherever you are, you just talk to Hashem. A vignette. It's Friday night at the beginning of the 1991 Gulf War. By the way, I was in Israel for this, so this speaks very powerfully to me. I was in ninth grade in Israel, 1990-1991 school year, and they're talking about the Friday night when the siren went off, and the Friday night the siren did go off. Following the instructions of Israel's home front command, it was the beginning of the 1991 Gulf War, the Machlises turned three of their bedrooms into sealed rooms. They were called Cheder Atum. You put up bubble wrap, and they're supposed to like protect you if there was a gas attack. And what's special tape called? Not regular scotch tape, not masking tape. Duct tape, thank you. Duct tape to seal the bubble wrap over the windows, and you were supposed to put your provisions in the room, like canned goods and bottled water. And my brother didn't have a gas mask yet. He was in Gan, so he had a mamat. It looked like an incubator. You're supposed to put the kid in there. The first night of the war, we stayed in there the whole night. Great, Friday night was just a couple nights after the war. Apparently, the Machlises handled the situation a little bit better. The Machlises turned three of their bedrooms into sealed rooms. That Shabbos night, the guests came carrying gas masks. My mother was on Emek Rafaim one of the nights, and she didn't have her gas mask, and the siren went off. And the store owner became very angry at her, and he started screaming at her, "Where's your mask? Where's your mask?" She said she forgot it. All the guests came carrying their gas masks. The assembled were in the middle of singing Shalom Aleichem when the siren went off. Pandemonium broke out. Mordechai and Henny shepherded the children and guests into the Cheder Atum, the sealed rooms. Everyone was tense and frightened. Not Henny. To her, it was a sublime, holy time. The whole country was united in prayer. Even when they heard the signal that it's okay to leave the sealed rooms, the Scots had not hit Jerusalem, Henny was fixed, praying for Jews in the attacked areas. For Henny, prayer was not a nebulous tossing of words heavenward like helium balloons. It was like launching powerful projectiles, and you had to aim with precision. And she was expecting her fifth child. They did an ultrasound to determine the gender of the baby, so Rabbi Machlis's parents could plan when they should come to Israel. Anyway, after a long and stressful labor and a cesarean, the doctors performed the surgery. Mazel tov, you have a boy. No, it's a girl, she said. The ultrasound showed a girl, so the doctor showed her. The baby was a boy, and he was screaming in distress. What's wrong? What's wrong? Well, the staff came running, and you know what she cried? The whole time I was davening she should marry a tzaddik. The whole time I was davening she should marry a Talmud Chacham. I was davening the wrong thing. Hashem, please let him be a tzaddik. Please let him be a Talmud Chacham. She says, we learned something very important from Rachel Imenu. I want to say one Torah thought. This is from Gray, which is her actual Torah teachings. I want to say one thought about Rachel Imenu. They say Rachel's the younger one. So she'll marry Yaakov. We know this, right? The younger for the younger. Rachel to Yaakov, the older to the older. Leah to Esav. Leah's older, so she'll marry Esav. Leah was very upset. Esav was a Rasha. She cried and she cried. She davened and she davened. Until what happened to her eyes? We all know. Rachel's, her eyes were so tender from crying. Not only did she marry Yaakov, she married Yaakov first, and I'm going to add into there when I talk about this, which I'm not going into in depth because that's obviously a whole shiur by itself, a whole series on itself. But not only did her tears allow her to marry Yaakov, and not only did she marry Yaakov first, but she had the most illustrious shvatim. Look at Leah's children and look at all the other shvatim. She had Reuven, who was the Bechor. He lost the Bechor, but Lamaisa, he was Reishis Oni. He opened up Yaakov's wellspring, so to speak. Reuven, Shimon and Levi, Achim, Klechamas, Maskarasayim, they would not let their sister on. Kazoni, Yasa, Zachosenu. Levi became the father of Levi and Lohanim, of course. Yehuda's Malchus, we're coming up to the Yurtzeit of David Melech Yisrael, the story of Rus and Moaviah, and the story of David HaMelech from Yehuda. And look at Yisachar and Zvulun and their beautiful Torah work partnership that holds up Knesset Yisrael. One sails out the ships, and the other one sits and learns Torah, Yisachar Bo'alacha. Such a beautiful, and when you look at the other Shvatim, Lamaisa, they're not on the level of Leah's children. They're important. It's all the Shivtei Ka. I'm not discrediting anybody here. But if you look at Leah Shvatim, and again, more in detail, it's fascinating what her tefillah accomplished. Now, Henny teaches something here. Rachel Imenu learned what crying can accomplish, and she learned it from her sister Leah. That's why, she says, the pasuk tells us, Rachel Mavaka al Baneha. Why does Rachel cry? Why does Rachel cry? Who did she learn it from? Leah. She learned from Leah what crying can accomplish. She learned a lesson that if you really cry to Hashem, when you really mean it, when you really daven from your heart, then you can save your children from exile. You can change fate. You can mamish change the gezeira. If you cry like you really cry, you really mean it. Unbelievable. It's beautiful. I don't remember when I read through the book, by the way, but I never heard that teaching before. That why does Rachel cry? Because she learned it from who? Leah. Okay, questions or comments? Yeah. Oh, page 111, middle of the page. Nothing can be attained without tefillah. We have learned two facts about tefillah. First, it demands a voda of its own. And it's not for naught that we say in the second paragraph, what we call the Hayim Shemoa, from Perek Yud Aleph of Devarim. Okay? And we say, L'avda b'chol levavchem u'b'chol nafshechem, and you should serve him with all your hearts and with all your soul. And we've quoted it before, and you know the Gemara, that the Gemara says right in the beginning of Maseches Tainis, what does it mean to serve him? U'l'avda b'chol levavchem. How do you serve God with your heart? So what's the answer? What's the Avodah Shebelev? You all know. It's tefillah. The Avodah Shebelev is tefillah. First of all, tefillah is Avodah on itself. So when Chazal say that tefillah is Avodah, it's hard work to daven properly. And we take it so for granted. It's something that we do all the time, from the time that we're little children, that we increase to mincha. Maybe you're davening arvis, like Henny, I don't know. You're davening minimum two tefillahs a day, sometimes three tefillahs a day. And we get so used to davening in a certain way. I'm trying to myself. It's very hard to change, to improve, to increase, to come closer through the Ribono Shel Olam for something that is so rote. And Chazal warned us about that in Pirkei Avos. Al ta'as tfilascha keva. Al rachamim v'sachnunim lifnei malkom baruch hu. It's very dangerous. If you get into a pattern, you know, if I'm saying Adon Olam the same way I say it in kindergarten, maybe I am, I don't know. I'm saying Adon Olam the same way I say it in kindergarten, I'm in big trouble. I'm talking big trouble. Could you imagine if in the other aspects of my life I was doing things the way I learned them in kindergarten? You advance. You don't maintain the same level. Tefillah, there's a danger with tefillah that we don't appreciate the avoda of tefillah because we've been brought up, Baruch Hashem, on this Indian of prayer. But we have to be growing in our tefillah, no matter how old we are, no matter how long we've been davening, no matter our stage in life. Tefillah is an avoda by itself. Avoda's work. Tefillah is called avodah shebelev. It's hard. In other words, in order to reach the level, you know, sometimes you might feel, I don't know, sometimes you might feel you're rushing through your tefillah. I have to get to here, I have to get to here. It's so ironic. It's so ludicrous. It's so asinine. Tefillah is what helps me get through the day. So I'm rushing through my tefillah to get to the next thing. How could I be successful at the next thing? If I'm rushing through, what gives me the call for the next thing? In other words, in order to reach the level where tefillah will be true and come from the depth of the soul, you have to strive to recognize without tefillah, nothing can be attained. You must work on this a great deal. One second. See, even when she's not here, she told me where she hid the water. In case you need water, I hid it behind this farm.
Amen.
Okay, thank you, Esther, for the water. The second fact is that tefillah encompasses all of our avoda. So the first one is tefillah is avoda by itself. And the second one is that the avoda of tefillah encompasses all other avoda. All other avodas Hashem we do is encompassed within tefillah. And tefillah is avoda by itself. That's very, does it make sense? Yes? Okay. There's no aspect that does not require tefillah first. If a person wants livelihood, he has to pray. You want parnasa, we need to daven. the pasuk says, interestingly, in this week's parasha, because we mentioned just a little bit of Shemitah. So the pasuk says the Torah is so attuned to human nature, and the pasuk says v'im tomu ma nocha b'shana hashvis. The people say, what are we going to eat? What kind of law is this? Hey, lo nizra zera, we haven't planted seed. Lo safta tevuasa. I'm sort of paraphrasing the pasuk. The people say, but that's lemaisa the pasuk, not necessarily in that exact lashon. People say, what are we going to eat? We haven't sown, we haven't planted, we haven't irrigated, I'm not allowed to harvest. Never mind, when you get to Yovel, how many years is it? It's unbelievable. When you get to Yovel, it's not two, it's four. The land is to provide for year 48. That's the last year before Shemitah. Then it has to provide for year 49, which is also year 7, which is Shemitah. Yeah? You with me? Year 48, you need food. Year 49, what are you eating? Year 50 is Yovel. And when you get to year 1, when's the last time you planted anything? It's unbelievable. Not only, okay, whatever grows, you're allowed to eat. You're not allowed to act as the balabais. But your neighbor could cut tape your crops. Your neighbor could graze his animals in your field. The stranger could come. The nachri could come. Anyone could come take your food. It's unbelievable. There's no aspect that does not require tefillah. If a person wants livelihood, if you want Hashem to sustain you, so you have to daven. If he wants to get married, you have to daven. If he wants children, he has to daven. By the way, when you have your children, then you for sure have to daven. This is all true, even he doesn't mention that, but we all know that to be true. This is all true with material concerns. So in other words, all of those things were material concerns. Yes, it could be used to fulfill mitzvahs, but they're not avoda in terms of tikkun hamidos. They're not avoda internal, right? Livelihood, parnas is something external. It's a material desire. Yes, marriage can help us fulfill many mitzvahs, but nevertheless, it's something external to ourselves. That's material concern. But the main need is when one seeks spiritual attainment. In every aspect of avoda, if you want to attain a level, you have to join tefillah to your other efforts. And that's why tefillah encompasses all of our avoda. So if I want to be patient, I can't just say I'm going to be patient. I have to daven. Hashem, you have to help me to be patient. You made me a certain way. This is my nature. These are the midos I have. Some people, every person has different teva, different nature, different midos. So every person for their mido, one person might work on kas, one person might work on kina, one person might work on atzlus, laziness, different people, different midos. Whatever the mida is, if I want to change my mida, it's not so partial to make a resolution and say, I'm going to change my mida. You're not going to be able to change your midos. That's tefillah. Hashem, you have to please help me change my midos. It's fascinating. Henny teaches, I was going to say it in two pages, but it's relevant to now. Henny teaches one of my favorite things in the book, even though they're like, I think every page is my favorite. If you didn't read it, it's time. You really need to read it. If anyone here didn't read it, go get it. Henny teaches, Korach wasn't punished because he was Korach. He was punished because he didn't ask Hashem to help him change. It's unbelievable. He had kina. He's jealous of the kohuna gedola. He's jealous. He says, you know, his wife says to him, one cousin is the kohen gadol, the other kohen is the melech, meaning Moshe. He starts a whole machlokas. He gets all these people going with him. He desires, he runs after kina and taiva and kavod. That's what he wants. Motzina sa'adam min olam. Chazal tell us, the one who loves kina, taiva, and kavod removes himself from the world. That's exactly what happened to Korach. He was jealous. He had a desire for more. He was not an asher samech b'chalko. And he wanted kavod. He wanted people to bow down to him. That's what was the whole fight. So I own Ben Pelas opted out. What did Own's wife say to him?
What? You lose no matter what.
Ah, very nice. Go ahead, you were continuing.
That's okay.
Go ahead. Very nice. Ima Rabba Antamide. If Moshe's the rabbi and wins, you're the student. Ima Rabba Antamide. And this way said Own, if Korach wins, you're still the student. What are you benefiting? What are you doing? This is a machlokas fueled by kina, taira, and kabbal. There's no machlokas here. Get out. Either way, you're a loser. Literally. So he understood. He got out. Why did Korach? And he couldn't understand. Because when someone is fueled by kina, taira, and kabbal, motzina, sa'adam, in the olam of Aaron Lichtenstein, Zatzal says, we usually take that to mean he removes himself from life in the next world. But if you know a person, he says, who is full of negative midos, what's his quality of life like in this world? He removes himself, in a sense, from nachas ruach in this world also. So if you want to change your midos, what Hani says is unbelievable. Korach was not punished because those were his natural midos. He wasn't punished for being about Kinan. He wasn't punished for being about Taiva. It means I'm not going to be punished for being naturally an impatient person. I'm going to be punished for not asking Hashem to help me change. There's a fundamental difference. It's unbelievable. I'm not talking about davening for Parnassa and davening for Shidduch and davening for what else? Children. No, that's material things that can help you. You understand external. Talking about davening to change who you are as a person. I want to stay calm today, Hashem. So help me stay calm. I don't want to be jealous. So Hashem, you have to help me. Otherwise, I'm like Korach. It's unbelievable. You have to join tefillah to your other avodas. In other words, there's no avodas Hashem. There's no tikkun hamidos. There's no chashvan hanefesh without tefillah. Unbelievable. As an entirely new dimension to the things that we daven for. The Svarim HaKadoshim on the bottom of page 111, ladies. Questions or comments? The Svarim HaKadoshim teach us the four legs of Hashem's throne correspond to the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Excuse me. And King David, David HaMelech. David HaMelech Israel, who was born and died on Shavuot 70 years later. Excuse me. Avram Avinu is the first leg. He embodies the attribute of loving Hashem, Ahavas Hashem. So I thought that this was very interesting because when we think of Avram Avinu, what do we associate with him with? Chesed. He's the Bechinas Chesed, the epitome of Chesed. It makes sense that he's the attribute of loving Hashem because to be a Baal Chesed, you have to love people. In fact, you know how Targum Onkelos explains. Targum Onkelos is not a translation, it's an explanation. He was the nephew of a Roman emperor, talking about Bisman Bayesheni, so many, many thousands of years ago, who came and he converted. And you know the story? The emperor kept sending people to get Onkelos back, and everyone he sent ended up staying on the Jewish side. Finally, he stopped sending people because he was losing all these people. Anyway, how does Targum Onkelos, anytime it uses the word love, explain love? What's his root word for love? It's Aramaic, but it's also much of it can be understood.
Have.
It's also a Hebrew shoresh. Resh Ches Mem is his interpretation of love. What is that? Rachel. To be a merciful or compassionate person is to have mercy. So we understand that Avram Avinu, the Bechinas Chesed, was a Baal Rachamim. Rachamim and Ahava are synonymous. If you truly love, not external display of love, if you truly love, if you truly have Ahavas Yisrael, then you're Baal Rachamim. Then you have mercy and compassion on other people in Knesset Yisrael. It means you're not judgmental. It means you're not condescending. It means you're not looking at what other people are doing. You just love them because you have all this exude, this Rachamim. Right? So it makes sense that Avram Avinu is the attribute Ahavas Hashem. He was the Bechinas Chesed. In order to do Chesed, you have to be a Baal Ahav and you have to be a Baal Rachmim. Yitzchak is the second leg. He embodies the attribute of awe, the Pachad Yitzchak. This also makes sense to us because Yitzchak was the Korban. Yitzchak was the Akeda when you're Makriv a Korban. In his case, he was Makriv himself, or his father was Makriv him as a Korban. It leads to a tremendous amount of Yiras Hashem. And finally, Yaakov. So you could help me here. Yaakov is the third leg. He embodies the attribute of compassion. Okay, so love, ahava, and compassion, even though we put them together, lamaisa, chazal do not put them together. So I was thinking that why would he embody the attribute of compassion? Because he was Torah. Yaakov was Torah. And the truth is, a person who's shaped by Torah becomes an absolute person of compassion. Salvechuk speaks about his grandfather, Rav Chaim Brisker, Zeichat Tzadik B'Kadosh L'Vrach. He says he didn't have Musar Sfarim in his house. There were no Musar Sfarim. He had the Gemara, he had the Rabbah, Mishnah Torah, the Sheet, the Mikubetzes, I think he says. Rabbi Kivi Eger, he didn't have any Musar. We have rows and rows of books about Musar this and Musar that and Ahavas Hashem this and Amuda. Then he says, so how did he become the giant? Rav Chaim Brisker revolutionized Torah. How did he become the giant who he was? But he wasn't just a giant in Torah, he was a giant in Chesed. He says, because one immerses himself in Chesed. Shar Shaganach. Ox that gored. Shar Shaganach, an ox that gored. How does that make you a different person? You sit down and you learn the Gemara that says, what's the lacha of an ox that gored? So Savajic says, when you immerse yourself in Torah, you become a compassionate person par excellence. Rav Chaim Brisker left a spiritual tzava, spiritual will, and he said, no to'arim on his matseva. They shouldn't write anything about him. Nothing. I just saw recently a picture of Rav Shteinman Zatzal's Matzeva. There's nothing on it besides his name and the dates. Like, nothing. So, like, if you never heard of this Gaon and you go to his cave, you're going to think it's an anonymous person who accomplished nothing in life. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. The godless. 1 second, please. So, now I don't want questions or comments at this moment. Hold it, please. So, Rav Chaim Brisker. The Rav Salvechik says, without Rav Chaim Brisker, without the Brisker method of Torah, we wouldn't be able to teach young boys Torah. We wouldn't be able to keep them interested. We wouldn't be able to compete. Now, I don't know the Brisker method because I don't learn Gemara, but we wouldn't be able to compete with the modern world. It makes it interesting. It makes it exciting. It makes it a geschmack of Torah. He revolutionized Torah learning. He didn't want any Torahim. He didn't have any mitzvah. He said, don't put anything on except his name. But Rav Salvechik says his father, Rav Moshe Salvechik, and his uncle, Rav Yitzchak Zev, the Brisker Rav, insisted on one Torah on the Matseva. Rav Chasar. That's all they put. So if you never met or you never heard of Rav Chaim Brisker, and you go to his caver, all you're going to know is that he was a person of Chasad. How did he become a person of Chasad? Through immersion in Torah. Torah. Mr. Sorm, just Shar Shaganach, an ox that guards and makes you a chesed personality. How, says the Rav, there's something about Torah that changes us. He says, you can't explain it. But immersion in Torah changes a person. And that's Yaakov Avinu. He was immersed in Torah the 14 years he spent by Shein Ve'Ever before he ran away. The 22 years, Umlavan Garti V'Taryag Shamarti. Like the Chazar are doing a play on words. They have nothing better to do with Garti and Taryag. They're teaching us that no matter where he was involved in Torah. And through that, he became a compassionate person. The Torah commands us to cleave to these attributes. We have a mitzvah. V'halach de'bedrachav, mahu af ata. Just like Hashem is rachum v'chanon, you have to be rachum v'chanon. Okay? So we have to emulate the Ribbono Shel Olam. We have to have havas Yisrael. We have to have pachad Yitzchak, the yir shamayim. And we also have to see everything through the lens of Torah, which leads us to be compassionate people. David HaMelech, oh wait, you want to say something. Now you can take your comment.
No school. It was in the basement of a shul. He built up the school to where it had 1,000 students, and he built the building.
Which school?
In Los Angeles, in Beverly Hills. It's called Hillel Hebrew Academy. And when I was recently in Los Angeles for my great nephew's bar mitzvah, there's now a kollel that davens in this school, and so everything took place in the school for the Shabbos bar mitzvah. I walked around the school looking for something that said my father's name on it. I couldn't find anything. I went to Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky and I said to him, am I supposed to do something about this? He said, anybody who knows, knows. Doesn't need to be there.
But the greatest testimony and testament is the Torah being learned.
That's what he told me, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky. And so it was just now when you said about Rav Shteinman, it said, that's my father. It's not necessary for his name.
Because the greatest testimony is the legacy of Torah.
Right.
That's what the Gedolim understand.
Right. By the way, Rosh Hashanah didn't want anybody to say anything when they were masking him.
Right.
He left the Sabbath, right?
I know.
Right.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Because the greatest legacy is Torah. And that's what they want to be passed on for eternity.
Exactly.
They did their tafka. They came and went.
Right.
But the Torah is what lives on, not a name. It's unbelievable madriga. It's unbelievable madriga. Okay. David Amach, so all the Torah being learned from, there should be a schus for you and your family. David Amach is the fourth leg of the throne. He embodied Va'ani Tefillah. Tefillah is the means for achieving all other positive character attributes. So whatever else you want to accomplish, whether it's a Havas Hashem or a Havas Yisrael, whether it's Rachamim, whether it's Pachar and Yira Shamayim, you cannot accomplish any of that without Tefillah. Without adding Tefillah to every aspect of our Avodah, nothing we acquire will have any permanence. And I think this is so relevant. We came to this chapter after 3.5 years of Avodah, of Amelos, and you've been learning practical things, I hope, all along, I hope. But we come to a chapter that speaks to us so strongly, especially as women. The Gemara says that 10 measures of Sicha came to the world, and women took 9. So people say, haha, women like to talk. Well, but chas v'sham, I heard a beautiful psha that it's not 10 measures of speech came to the world and woman took 9. It's 10 measures of It's 10 measures of speech came. I said it wrong. Sorry. 10 measures of tefillah came to the world, and woman took 9. So, especially as woman, it has such a strong, one second. It resonates so strongly within us, but I think that even more so, it's very practical and applicable. Because when we daven for shalom, for Eretz Yisrael, everybody davens for that. We daven for success with Gidol Banim, everybody davens for that. We daven for Shaduchim, whether for us or for people that we know. We daven for Parnassah, whether us or people know. We daven for Matir Asurim, Hadar Golden and Aron Sha'ol. Alor Azariah came home this week, Baruch Hashem. We daven for so many things. But sometimes we forget to daven for our spiritual success. But without our spiritual success, nothing else can happen. And even that I need to daven for. Yes. No. Especially that I need to daven for. Not even that I need to daven for. Especially that avoda. Because that's the foundation of all of our avoda. Yeah.
I just thought it was very interesting that men are supposed to daven with a minion. They need 10 men for their tzilos to have
well, that's interesting. They need 10.
They need 10. And a woman has 9 measures of speech. When she davens, she makes that 10 herself. She doesn't need a minion.
That's very nice. That's very nice. A man b'yechidus is one koach. Therefore, he needs 9 other kochos to join that power of sicha, which is tefillah. But a woman represents 9. You could say that the Ribbono Shel Olam makes the minion, so to speak, without sounding feminist or anything. Chas v'shalom. Very nice. That's a very nice point. Very nice. And we learn about tefillah from the imahos. Yes, also from the avos, certainly, especially Yitzchak is always davening. He's davening when the shidduch comes. He's davening when his wife is on akara. He spends so much time davening. They were misaking the standard tefillos. The Gemara teaches us that. But Yashkim Avram Baboker, he was Masakin Shachris, Perikir Tess, by the destruction of Sodom, Vayezhiyatzor Kasuach Basada, 2463. And finally, Yaakov, Vayivka Bamachem, Vayel and Sham, at the beginning of Vayetze, when he establishes Arvis. But the tefillahs of the imos were accompanied by tears. That is a tremendous koach, as we already discussed with Rachel and Leah. Very nice, Shani, it's beautiful. David HaMelech is the fourth leg of the throne. He embodied Ani Tefillah. That's all about us. Tefillah is the means for achieving all other positive character attributes. Without adding Tefillah to every aspect, nothing we acquire will have any permanence. You know, you put up a whole structure. You build a whole building. You don't have a foundation, so it could be the most beautiful, the most magnificent, the most wealthy, the most ornate. What's going to happen if it doesn't have a foundation? It will have no permanence. It's going to come crashing down. Indeed, as long as the world lacks the proper level of tefillah, whether collectively or individually, we cannot merit redemption. Tefillah is an absolute requirement for a good. That's very frightening also, because if we're lacking in tefillah, and the world as a whole is lacking in tefillah, collectively or individually, that's a little scary, because how could we affect Geula, if it's an absolute requirement for redemption, if we're lacking in it? I don't know. I don't have an answer. One second, please. Any thoughts on that? I'm asking you a question.
I have a few issues with it. Just his wording. And it might just be a word choice from the author. It's not. I might be nitpicky here. But he seems to be starting off by saying Tefillah is achieving everything except for Avas Hashem, for Pachad. He even says that tefillah is the means for achieving all other positive character traits. Like, does that mean that the other three can be achieved without tefillah?
You have to daven for all those other, to be successful in all those other areas. You have to daven to be a person with a Havas Hashem and a Havas Yisrael. To be daven to be a person who is Yira Shemayim. We daven for that. We're coming to Shabbos Mevarchim. We mamash daven for these things.
No, when he says all other, like, I guess the other is what's bothering me. We have these three traits, and then like everything else.
Any positive character trait cannot be accomplished without davening for. Go back to Korach. Keep that teaching in mind. Korach wasn't punished because he was Korach, and he was punished because he didn't daven to Hashem to help him change. It's clear? I don't want you to leave with issues.
No, I think it's...
I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm being serious. So here, what he tells us is tefillah is an absolute requirement for a geula. Okay? A woman at the Shiva once told, I'm going back to Hani Machas, Allah Hashem, a woman came to the Shiva and she told, she was once at the Kotel, and she saw a woman leaning against the wall, sobbing uncontrollably. As she moved closer to the wall, to the Kotel, she was able to hear the woman's prayers. The woman was crying for geula, for redemption. She wasn't asking or requesting. She was sobbing and screaming for geula, and that woman was Hani Machas. And you know, everybody has so many things to daven for, but sometimes we forget to daven for tikkun amidus, and sometimes we also forget to daven for geula. We're so busy, bogged down in the trenches from the day to day with the things that we need today. Shema kolenu, chus v'racham aleinu, v'kabel v'racham ritzon es tefilsinu. Right now, we all have whole list. There's so much daven for. It's very, it's impossible to daven for everything we need. So we also have to daven that Hashem should put our tefillos in all the right directions and apply the words for everything we need. There can be no true achievement without tefillah. If one imagines he has attained something without praying for it, look at his word. You're delusional. Tefillah is vital. My daughter said, who's taking care of the plant? I said, Hashem. She said, who's physically taking care of the plant? I said, me. You can't accomplish one single thing without tefillah. It is not merely an important detail, a nice thing that ought to be attained. Nothing can be achieved without. So I think it's a good homework assignment for this week, not that we have to come back and turn in papers, but I think that for all of us, I'm really speaking to myself, it's a very important homework assignment to try to pick one midah. You don't have to if you don't want to. I'm suggesting that pick one midah that's a struggle. I'm talking to myself. And if you want to join, you can. Pick a midah that's a struggle. And we should daven to Hashem for us to help us, besides for everything else we daven for. And there's so much, we don't even manage to say everything we have. I was so happy when I heard Laura Azariah got out of jail. I was so happy. I'm not comparing it to Hadar Golden or Aaron Shaul, but nevertheless, he needed his Yeshua, and I was so happy. You know what I thought to myself? Not to be Bagai v'chas Hashem, but just the power of tefillah. I thought, I davened for him every, besides for every day, Matir Sum, but every Erev Shabbos, when I light Shabbos candles, as we go into Shabbos, so Hadar Golden, Aron Shal, Alor Zayah, Ron Arad, Zecharia Balma, again, I'm not putting him into the category that they are Rachman al-Itzlan and missing an action, killed in action, bodies held by the enemy, non-Zochot for Israelis, I'm not comparing, but still, he was imprisoned for shooting a terrorist. It's a little bit backwards that we imprison people for shooting stabbers, but okay, that's a different situation. But I thought to myself, I daven every Friday. He got out. You don't know which word of tefillah changed the gezeirah. You don't know which brought the Yeshua closer. Who knows which prayer for Shaul Mordechai Rubashkin got him out of jail? You don't know. You don't know which word of tefillah changed the gezeirah, made the Yeshua come closer, made the geula happen. You don't know. There's nothing that can be achieved without tefillah. So I think it's a positive avoda for us that this week we should choose one nekuda that's difficult for us that we don't daven for. Not something you're already davening for. Something that we don't daven for that's a difficult nekuda. And at least once a day, if you ask the mechaber, he'll say at least once an hour, but at least once a day, at least once a day in Shema Koleinu or by the Yiratzon at the end, have in mind, even if it's for 2 seconds, I'm talking to myself, to have in mind, Hashem, help me with this midah. Help me be misakin. Help me with this inyan that's hard for me. It's not only an important detail, a nice thing. Nothing can be achieved without. Should we just do the last, can we just do the last 2 paragraphs here, or no? Yes or no? I'm asking your permission.
Yeah.
Is it okay? Page 112. To what can this be compared? A person enters a small market to buy a bottle of soda. You go into the Makola, you want a soda. The storekeeper takes a bottle of the refrigerator, begins to hand it to him. So you're almost getting the drink, but as he stretches out his hand, the latter pulls his hand back. You know, like when you're pouring for little kids and they don't say enough and they just pull the cup away and you're like, you couldn't just say stop. You don't just pull the cup away. The latter pulls his hand back. So you didn't give warning. The bottle falls to the floor. You should say stop. Tefillah is like a hand. It's the receptacle. What does that mean? There could be bracha coming, but you need to put out your hand to get the bracha. You need to put out the tefillah to affect the blessing. Without tefillah, no matter what Hashem offers you, this is very brilliant, you can't receive it. It's a hand, tefillah, so to speak, to receive the Shefer Bracha. There's tons of Shefer Bracha coming down. But someone could be raining, lahavdeh of alfei havdalos, but just a physical mashal. Someone could be raining gold coins on you. Real gold coins. They're worth a lot of money. But if you don't collect them, what is it going to help you that they're raining down? So you're going to be standing in a pile of gold coins, and then you walk away. You left all the wealth on the floor. It's a very good mashal. So there's raining Shefer Bracha, but if I don't daven for it, then I'm not catching it in my basket, in my hand, and nothing. So what does it help me? Tefillah applies to every aspect of avodah, to whatever you want to attain, whether it's Ahavas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, whether it's Rachamim, whether it's Limud Torah, whether it's Asiyas HaMitzvos, whether it's Tikkun HaMidos, everything requires tefillah. So with that, we will stop. But very important. I'm going to send it out on the WhatsApp also. I can't change it, and you know I try very hard to stick to schedule. I'm also saying this, I'm recording for people who aren't here. Class next week is on Tuesday. I sent a notice about that about 2 weeks ago. I apologize. Sometimes it's beyond my control. Class next week, Be'ezras Hashem. It gives you an extra night closer to Shavuos to prepare for Yantar. Gamzu Latova. Have a wonderful Shabbos, and as we say in Shabbos Barachim, Yamalei Hashem, called Mishalus Libeinu Latova, Bizchus Tfilas Rabim, Amen. Thank you, ladies. Amen.